Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Ty.
All right, so you're going to have to get the live stream up here. Text the word WATCH to 855-616-1620.
Get out of here.
Well, we're having an internal debate on the color of Jessica's dress. And I think it's called plum. And then you made up a color that I've never heard of. Nate, our producer, intrepid producer extraordinaire, said it was purple. Gina responded with maroon. So we're all in the same family, but I'd never heard of the color that you suggested.
Aubergine.
I don't know what that is.
And that's okay. I think purple is fine. You were close. Everybody was close. Everybody was, it was all in the family.
Aubergine sounds like a fragrance.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it is.
I've never sniffed that one.
1208 on WTMJ.
It's now at noon on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Jury selection is now underway for the trial of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan. Potential jurors walked into federal court in Milwaukee this morning wondering if they'll be picked for this high-profile case, a case that is being watched across the country. Federal prosecutors accused Judge Dugan of helping a man who was in the country illegally evade immigration agents at the Milwaukee County Courthouse back in April. Dugan faces charges of obstruction and concealing an individual to prevent arrest. CBS Justice correspondent Scott McFarlane on Midday discussing how unique this case is.
It's one of a kind. It's still one of a kind. It was, at the time, a pioneering type of case. The Department of Justice, the Trump administration, prosecuting a member of the judiciary at the state court, the local court in Milwaukee. Hasn't been anything quite like that since either. So how this trial plays out is going to be of enormous interest.
Okay, so here's where we are right now. So far, potential jurors have been asked questions including, do you know any of the possible witnesses? Do you have any conflicts next week? Do you have specialized knowledge of law? Have you been to the Milwaukee County Courthouse before? One potential juror has already been struck. Dugan, meanwhile, says she's innocent and so far has refused to take a plea deal. Today in court, Judge Lynn Adelman said he expects the trial to last 4 to 5 days. It's scheduled to start on Monday.
Yeah, give you a sense of how big that is. When that story broke, Scott McFarlane, the CBS congressional correspondent, and our guest, he was here, right? He was in Milwaukee spending some time, and we spoke to him yesterday about it, and he was all over it, right? It's a major, major national story. And then there were nine, as in declared Democratic candidates for the governor of Wisconsin. Joel Brennan stepping aside from his role as president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee to run in 2026.
In 2018, I got a call I never expected. Tony Evers had just been elected governor, and he asked me to help lead our state as his top cabinet official. We got to work putting the state on firmer financial footing, generating a budget surplus of nearly $4 billion, and growing our rainy day fund to $1.7 billion. Then COVID hit, and all of that progress was put at risk. We stood up to the extremists and delivered help to tens of thousands of small businesses, farmers, and families across Wisconsin.
Part of Joel's official announcement made very early this morning, informative and a bit self-deprecating. We'll ask Joel about that coming up in just a few minutes. He's 55 years old and enters the race with more than 2 decades experience working across government and civic institutions. Prior to joining Evers' cabinet, Brennan spent a decade as the executive director of Discovery World Museum. It's a loaded list here. 9 candidates on the Democratic side to officially declare, just 3 on the Republican side. And we'll talk to Joel Brennan about his decision right here in Wisconsin's Midday News coming up in just a few minutes.
At some point, these need to be whittled down, but we continue to add to the list.
Yeah, so it's a major list here. And all of them know each other, right? They've operated in similar circles for years, and I would imagine in some cases even friends. So how do you differentiate yourself from the other candidates? That'll be a key question here for Joel to answer. It's 12:12 on WTMJ. Keep an eye on the weather here. It's going to get pretty nasty over the weekend. Make arrangements as possible with wind chills well below zero here for Saturday and Sunday. A complete look at the weather coming up at about 1:35. Now at noon, sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check them out online at flanners.com. It's sound advice at the best price for Flanners. Just press play. Well, it is official. Joel Brennan officially announcing his candidacy for the 2026 Wisconsin gubernatorial election, which will be an open race after incumbent Governor Tony Evers announced he will not seek a third term.
I'm Joel Brennan. I'm a Democrat running for governor. You probably don't know much about me, so let's start with some numbers. 10. That's how many siblings I grew up with right here in Wisconsin. We were long on potential, although sometimes a little short on resources. 49. That's how many points future NBA star Nick Van Exel and I combined to score when we played each other in high school. I had 8. He had the rest. 5. That's how many jobs I had to help pay my way through college, like landscaping, baking coffees, retail, and deep frying egg rolls. 0. The number of functioning blinkers on my first car.
Well, we'll get to the deep frying egg rolls coming up as part of this conversation. Joel Brennan joins us on the line right now, part of a crowded field trying to seek that Democratic nomination for governor in 2026. Hi, Joel.
Hey, how you doing, Greg?
Doing well. So we spoke about a month ago, Joel, and you said you were considering running for governor. So what information did you need to gather in ultimately deciding, yes, I'm going to do this thing?
Well, anytime somebody does this, and everybody who has gone through this process, it's intensely personal. It's about whether your family and your close friends are going to be with you for this, and if there's the opportunity to see that there can be the resources to get your message out. And frankly, what I did over the last couple of months is try to talk to people, but also listen to what their concerns are. People are angry and they're fearful about what's going on in Wisconsin. And I think they believe that I'm somebody, because of what I've done in my career of trying to roll up my sleeves and get something done, like that I have something to offer here. But really, it starts with the people who are closest to you, and those are the people who have given me the green light on this, and that gives me some wind at my back to think that I've got something to say to the state of Wisconsin.
Joel, you've served as Governor Tony Evers' top aide in the past. Where would you continue his approach, and where would you veer from it?
Well, one thing I would say, Jessica, is I think there's nobody who could say that Tony Evers doesn't reflect the values that all of us hold dear in Wisconsin. And I'm proud to have worked alongside of him. You know, he and I had the opportunity to work together closely to undo some of the things, some of the harm that had been done under 8 years of Scott Walker and a right-wing legislature. And then, you know, both with Governor Evers and a number of other partners around the state, we needed to band together when COVID came along. So I'm really proud of that effort and a lot of the work that we did in the Evers administration. So I think Tony Evers, when he first announced on that day before I came to your studio that he wasn't running, I told you guys there, that I think he had done a really terrific job. Where I think things will change in the next administration is that there is an opportunity now, because of one of the legacies that Tony Evers will have is that he helped create fair maps around the state, so that, you know, there are going to be opportunities for true elections where the people who are represented get to decide who represents them, as opposed to what happened starting in 2010, where, you know, people who were elected representatives pretty much got to pinpoint who they were going to represent. And so with fair maps and a Democratic governor, I think things can be very different in terms of being on the offensive on issues related to health care, on public education, on issues around housing, and all the things related to, you know, what we're hearing now related about affordability. You know, we have Donald Trump at the federal level calling affordability a hoax. There are a couple hundred thousand people who are about to lose their health care in Wisconsin in the next couple of weeks. There are tens of thousands more who are going to see premiums double or triple. And that's not a hoax. That's that's real. And that's people in Wisconsin who are going to feel that. And so I'm eager to not just be angry about that, but to get ready to roll up my sleeves and do something about it.
You know, Joel, you mentioned the words banding together. You've often emphasized your ability to work with both Democrats and Republicans to roll up your sleeves, work together. You've used that kind of phrasing. Did this happen during the Evers administration when you were there as his top aide? Concrete examples of times you successfully negotiated major compromise with the opposing party?
I don't think there was a spirit of general compromise through most of that time. And there can be approaches that afford for that and allow for that. And I like to think that that's the kind of personality I have, but there needs to be a willingness to do that. And with an overwhelming Republican majority in the legislature, that wasn't always the case. Now, you know, I certainly had conversation with people. I will tell you that there were things during COVID where everybody was able to put aside their partisan beliefs and their ideology and get things done. There are people like Paul Farrow, who's the county executive in Washington, and I, who in Waukesha County, he and I had opportunities to work together on things that we thought could help do things that would save lives or would help people in their healthcare. You know, there are any number of examples like that, but that's part of what I think the evolution is happening in Wisconsin and why it's important who's going to be the candidate for the Democrats next fall, because we have an opportunity to for the first time in 15 years for the Democrats to have a majority, and it will be a thin majority in the state Senate and in the Assembly. And with that, there's opportunity to get more done. Now, there will be many of opportunities throughout that to, for there to be inclusion of people across the ideological spectrum, because I think ultimately we all stand for what we think are Wisconsin values and how can we invest in ways that are going to bring down costs for Wisconsin residents and put us on a path to make real lasting change for people for the long term.
At the top of the segment, we played a large chunk of your first campaign video, but there's another part of it where you take aim at President Trump. Let's listen to that.
Today, thanks to Donald Trump's chaos and incompetence, the numbers just aren't adding up for Wisconsin families. Costs, like everything else, are out of control. And coming from a family that had to make every dollar count, I know what that feels like. I'll be a governor who will stand up to Trump's dysfunction.
If you're a Democrat running right now, as you are now, considering our current political environment, do you have to take aim at the president? How do you make that decision? And how do you win over the independents who don't want this election to be solely about Trump?
Yeah, and I think you won. Everybody is angry and everybody wants someone who's going to stand up to what I think is generally agreed upon as dysfunction at the federal level. So, you know, and I'm happy to do that, proud to do that, because I think it's right. When you've got somebody going around the country saying that affordability is a Democratic hoax, like that's not someone who lives in the real world. In the next couple of weeks, there are going to be 200,000 people who live in the state of Wisconsin who are going to lose their health care, tens of thousands more who are going to see their premiums double and triple. And there are all kinds of other examples. There were 720,000 people because of the dysfunction at the federal level who quite literally couldn't put groceries on the table in the first 2 weeks of November. So all of those are demonstrations that this is real. This is not a hoax. And so, you know, because of that dysfunction, yes, people, whether they're Democrats or independents and even some Republicans, want people to stand up to Donald Trump. However, you know, I do think, and this is part of where I have been throughout my life, you know, I get angry, but I don't want to get even. I want to get something done, and we need to be able to roll up our sleeves and actually get to work and showcase that there's a vision for where we want to go also as a state, investing in early childhood education, investing in education all throughout within K-12 and in higher ed, because that's still the way to create problem solvers and to get innovation and entrepreneurs inspired in Wisconsin. We have a housing crisis across the state of Wisconsin where there simply isn't the enough adequate housing for people at all levels. In the course of the last year, the average age of a first-time home buyer grew to 40 years old for the first time ever. 5 years ago, it was 33 years old. That means that families with young children who, you know, can use the creation of wealth through buying a home and all that, like all that has been put out of reach. And so we are just layering cost after cost after cost on people without giving them any adequate relief. And so I think that's where we can win over people around the state, but that's also just where we have to go if we're going to preserve Wisconsin values. And I think if there's something to be said about Donald Trump beyond just the criticism, I think who he is undermines the values that we stand for as Wisconsinites. And I want to, mine is a Wisconsin story. I'm a Wisconsin guy, and I'm going to continue to push for Wisconsin values against whatever the values are that other people have, whether they're Donald Trump, whether they're Republicans in the legislature, or anybody else.
Joel Brennan joining us here in Wisconsin's Midday News. A crowded field here, Joel. You're the ninth to officially declare here on the Democratic side, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear similar sentiments shared from Mandela Barnes or Sarah Rodriguez or even David Crawley. So what differentiates you and your platform from the others? Because it feels like there are some similarities here.
Sure, and I think we share some of the same values. You said I'm the ninth. Well, you know, you guys know a little bit about me and my family. I was the 10th of 11 to come. So I know what it's like to try to edge my way in and elbow my way into the table to ensure that I got something to eat and in some ways have something to say. But the way that, and I respect the other candidates, they all are good people. And I worked with a lot of them when I was in the Evers administration. And, you know, but the thing that I will lean into in my candidacy and in my campaign is to talk about the breadth of experience that I've had over the course of 25 years, over 11 years as the head of the largest science museum in Wisconsin, where I was trying to push STEM education and increasing opportunity for young boys and young girls to have access to science education, 3 years as the top appointed official in Governor Evers' cabinet, the last 4 years working with higher education, working with civic leaders, working with nonprofit leaders. All of those have been efforts for me to roll up my sleeves and try to get things done. And the other thing that I think you guys know, and we've established this over the course of the year and a half that I've been coming on your show regularly, is relationships mean a lot to me. I have spent a lifetime investing in those. And as I go around the state, I'm going to try to be not only somebody who talks with people, but who's a listener and who's developing those relationships. That part of what I did when I was as the Secretary of the Department of Administration, it's something that I look forward to as part of the campaign, because I just think that's who we are as Wisconsin. We want to be prone to action, but we also need to be listeners and we need to be learners. And that's what I'm going to do on the campaign.
And Joel, what's your plan of attack to get your name more well-known outside of Milwaukee? Because you're very well-known here in our city, but across the state, and the other candidates pretty much are in the same boat with that. So I'm curious, what's the plan of attack?
Yeah, well, you know, starting today, you know, on most Thursdays, I'd be sitting in that seat next to you guys and, you know, and making eye contact with you. I'm in Madison right now. I'm here today. I'm going to spend time everywhere around the state. And again, to be honest, that's the part of this that I'm going to enjoy, is going out and having the opportunity to learn from people and listen to people all around the state. These are campaigns that are also about resources. And so I'm going to aggressively try to get people who will believe in me and believe in what I have to say that will be part of my campaign and invest in the campaign. But it truly is going to be about rolling up your sleeves and trying to get a message out to people around the state. And, you know, in some ways, that's who I have been throughout my life. That's what I look forward to over the next 9 months.
Joel Brennan officially announcing his candidacy for the 2026 Wisconsin gubernatorial election. It'll be an open race after incumbent Governor Tony Evers announced he will not seek a third term. He is off and running on the campaign trail. Joel, we appreciate your time as always. And in full disclosure to our WTMJ audience, you're stepping away from your role as president of the Greater Milwaukee Committee. You're also stepping away from our weekly segment, and we'll miss you, but we'll certainly check in with you and other candidates from time to time as this race builds and as we get closer to Election Day.
Yeah, you know how much I look forward to these conversations and how much I appreciate them. And I know you're going to have other good people from around the community and from the GMC who are going to be part of this. And I appreciate that. But I just appreciate your friendship and what you guys mean to the community. So thank you. And we'll see you out there along the way.
Thanks, Joel.
Sounds good. Joel Brennan joining us here with
Get Ready, Bucks fans. It's time for Bucks Insiders on Wisconsin's Midday News with Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai. Your courtside connection every Thursday at 12:35. Powered by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Our weekly discussion of all things Milwaukee Bucks. Happy to be joined by Bucks President Peter Fagan. Hello, Peter.
Guys, what's up?
Happy to have you on here, Peter. Now, you must dig back here, because there's been a lot of noise around the Milwaukee Bucks for the last week or so. I want to play for you kind of a mashup of stuff, including an exasperated Doc Rivers from a little less than a week ago.
The Bucks called the Knicks and asked for an offer for Giannis. People were like, oh my God, he deleted a photo from May where he had a Bucks logo. Guys, he asked to be traded already.
Yeah.
What appears is that Giannis committed himself for the season to the Bucks.
Giannis Antetokounmpo and his agent Alex Tsiratsis have started open conversations and dialogue with the Bucks about his future, whether that's staying in Milwaukee or the realities of a trade to move elsewhere.
Sources have relayed to me that Giannis Antetokounmpo addressed some of his teammates recently to stress the importance of focusing on basketball, not to allow outside distractions.
There's been no conversations. I want to make it clear, but for the 50th time, it clearly is not getting the one network, for sure. Giannis has never asked to be traded, ever. I can't make that more clear.
So you got Brian Windhorst saying Giannis has to be traded to the Knicks in the offseason. You've got Sham Sharani saying that there's an open dialogue about Giannis's future led by his agent. You've got Chris Haynes saying he's talking to the team to try and make sure this isn't a distraction. By the way, Giannis is injured, not playing tonight. And then you have Doc, who is clearly annoyed and frustrated with the whole situation. How do you make sense of all of this stuff, Peter? What is the truth?
Well, can you imagine dealing with this? Like, there's no statute of limitations. Shams has been saying the same thing for almost a calendar year in getting this done. I think Giannis has made it clear that, you know, especially lately and especially internally and partially externally, like, I'd like to rehab and I'd like to focus on basketball in a big way. And this is kind of Groundhog's Day. It comes back. It is terrible for our fans. It is terrible internally and externally. It's like the world of clickbait and to like make this happen. And I think, you know, honestly, like how to manufacture a story and continue to beat it to death till, you know, I think hopefully the pundits in the NBA, like, you know, it could happen. Our role internally is especially when we're not doing as well as we'd like to, is to really focus, you know, on the team, focus on winning, turning this around in like a big way, focus on the players and continue to improve. So, you know, I think Giannis has been unbelievable where, you know, he literally said the other day, like, you know, this focus is about team and about basketball and how to kind of change this. So I don't think the noise changes, because I think, you know, the environment of which we're in, like, if you're not winning consistently and we're having this kind of drop, you know, this is what happens. But, you know, John Horst and I were talking the other day, and, you know, for us, like, welcome to the NBA. Like, you've got to go through, no matter what team you're at, you've got to go through a period of time that is just your challenge to get it. We're hoping this is that period of time, and you persevere and you come out the other side 100% stronger and better. But the, you know, the chatter and everything for us is just that we love to reduce the noise and we'd love to have it all focused on him getting better and playing basketball.
Peter, you mentioned we've been listening to the chatter for a year. And honestly, I mean, it's been years of these trade rumors, but it does feel different lately. You are very close with Giannis. Why does Giannis not just come out and say, here's the deal, everybody. Here's the deal, Bucks fans.
Yeah, I think in his own way, like, you know, first of all, Giannis never really comes out, you know, in kind of, I think in the last couple of days, he's basically said, hey, like, I've met with the team, like, this is real focus on where we are today and improving this team and kind of getting through my injury to get this done. I think if you know Giannis, and I'm with you, like, it would be great to say, let me address everything clearly and get this done. But if you're Giannis, I mean, I can just tell you, the last thing this guy wants to be is the subject of chatter that's anything except for basketball. You know, and like, what he does not want to do is continue to fuel, continue to have conversations, continue to get it. So I think a piece of him is, you know, like, I'm going to show through my actions, which is tough when you're injured, but I'm going to make this really clear. Like, this is about this team and we want to move forward and improve. And I am a Milwaukee Buck, you know, currently and plan to be a Milwaukee Buck in the future, you know, as we stand right now. And that's like what he's focused on. So this, you know, I think the frequency and the velocity of which this is coming is a lot more, but this hasn't changed one bit. This is the same. You know, you got one of the top three players in the league, and this story has not stopped, you know, for 10 to 12 months.
Giannis has also indicated, Peter, that he wants another championship, right? It's a big legacy play for him as one of the best players to ever put on a uniform, not only for the Bucks, but in the NBA. Winning would make this go away, or at least quiet momentarily, and right now the Bucks are under 500, and many of those losses are with Giannis hurt and sidelined with an injury. I hate to look forward like this, but if it's one of those seasons that just falls short of expectations, how do you avoid this from being a resurrected topic throughout the season and in the off season?
Oh, no. I think this is a topic that, you know, we can't, you know, listen, if I had a magic wand, I'd erase the topic. Like, it'd be very easy, but this is real. This continues to go in. I think the kind of delusion and diligence, you know, on on the folks we're dealing with that are desperate to have this be a story, like, won't go away because they've dug themselves so deep into this that we just have to manage it. And, you know, fortunately for us, like, listen, it's all about results to get this in. And we don't deal in the hypothetical, and we deal in, like, the reality, and like we've always done at the Bucks. Like, we are focused on improving and making this a better scenario, period. So, you know, we will take where we are. We will continue to evaluate. John Horst hasn't stopped for 1 minute, you know, in the 7 years he's been GM, exploring, thinking, refining and tweaking. You know, so for us, not much has really changed. And like, our focus is like, literally, how do we turn this around, you know, as quickly as we can?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to zone in on that and piggyback off that question, because as Greg said, Giannis has always said he wants to compete for championships. Peter, we know you want to compete for championships. So do Bucks fans. But how confident are you that Milwaukee can still offer him that path today and not in theory?
Yeah, I think for us, like, we're delusional optimists, like, at every moment of time. So we think, we sit back and we really think about, what are the tweaks? What are things we do? Where directionally do we want to go? So we think there's always opportunity for improvement, you know, whether it's with the current team, whether it's changing up the roster, whether it's tweaking, whether it's through acquisition, whether it's through draft. So, you know, for us, like, that's the job to get it in. And I think the parity in the NBA is like kind of really interesting now. Like, other than Oklahoma City and kind of like really playing beyond and above and some real surprises like Detroit and everything, you know, it's level ground in the NBA. Like, to be extremely competitive in the East, you know, is like, we're still not that far away to get that done. And, you know, we think about that all the time. Like, this is about, you know, winning the East and competing, you know, in the whole league. And the East is, you know, there's not much room between, you know, the top 10 teams.
Peter, how does Giannis's agent factor into all this kind of stuff, right? You got a number of reports, but now we're finally hearing his agent's name. And while Giannis might be focused on basketball and getting better, his agent is always focused on the best situation for his client, be it in Milwaukee or somewhere else. How active are those conversations with Giannis's agent, or is he not been contacted and no conversations have happened since the season started?
I can just tell you the favorite part about my job is John Horst deals with the agents and I don't. and that's that, like, you can read into that as much as you want, and to get into what the games are and what the rhetoric and what the position is. But, you know, I don't deal with this. Again, like, we are so lucky because, you know, again, we deal with the reality of, you know, we've been so lucky to be so close. Our relationship with Giannis, you know, and his, and even his team and his agents, it's extremely differentiated from other relationships in that we've had, you know, 13 years of kind of building equity and trust and discussion. And I'm not, you know, Giannis doesn't keep me up at night, and I think he's in a very good place. And, you know, I question strategies. I question people. Agents have a very direct incentives. You know, it's like, how do they position their client to have the most value, you know, kind of all the time. And how do they themselves like glean value off of that? So that game I don't get involved in. And I care more about what comes from Giannis's mouth. And, you know, like I said, I'm very lucky in not having to deal with his representation.
Bucks President Peter Fagan. Peter, we always appreciate your candidness and joining us here once a month on the program. Always great insight and great to connect with you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, guys. Go Bucks. Celtics tonight.
You bet. Should be a fun one. Pfizer Forum tonight. It's been a few days since the Bucks have played.
Yeah,
they got this whole
like
NBA
it.
Cup thing happening. And so that is happening right now in the world of the NBA. So they've got these weird little breaks in early December, and the Bucks are, well, concluding theirs tonight. They'll be back on the floor against the Celtics at Fiserv Forum.
I'm drinking out of my Bucks Yeti today.
There you go. 1249 on WTMJ. We celebrate an everyday hero after this. Greg and Jessica with you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. It is Thursday. It's about 1254. Time to recognize another everyday hero.
Superhero, trying to save the world. An everyday hero is when Wisconsin's Morning News celebrates an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. Today we head to the UK, overseas for this story, Shannon Jeffries. She's 61 years old and she was about to head out for her regular golf meeting with a buddy of hers, a 60-year-old man named Darren Oliver. So Shannon's getting ready to head to the course when she gets a video call from Darren. Darren is in his car. He's outside his house. He hasn't left yet. And he tells her, yeah, I just don't feel good. I think we need to cancel today. I just don't think I'm going to make it. He's not feeling good, he says. So she says right away she could tell he was sick. She's looking at the video screen and she can see his face is all drab. He looked gray. That's when he started stuttering. And he passes out. So Shannon sees this happen on the video call. She only knows him from playing golf at the course, so she doesn't even know where he lives. So she calls the club. She says, hey, I need you to tell me where Darren Oliver lives. She gets the address, puts it in her phone, and starts racing over to his house. Meanwhile, she calls 911. So Shannon gets there. She finds Darren in the car slumped over the steering wheel. She's on the phone with the dispatcher, and the operator tells her, well, get him out of the car, get him on the ground, and clear his airway. Well, he's a big dude. She could not move him. So instead, she pops his seat. Boom! It goes all the way back. He's on his back now. She tilts his head back, starts CPR, and this is when the ambulance shows up. And it is not going well. They cannot get him to regain consciousness. It's a struggle. And that's when she decides to give him a golf ball. Now listen to this. It sounds daft now, she tells the Worcester News, but I pulled a golf ball out of my bag and put it in his hand and told him to hang on. He was squeezing it. So they finally get him to the hospital, and it was rough. He suffered multiple cardiac arrests. They had him in a medically induced coma. He had heart surgery, but has since pulled through. Darren is alive, doing much, much better now, has lost more than 100 pounds, and still golfing. He credits Shannon for saving his life. As for that golf ball she gave him, he says, it's a Titleist. I'm not giving it back. Darren went on to say that he carries that ball in his bag as a reminder. And get this, here's the best part. The pair has raised thousands of dollars now for the British Heart Foundation in honor of Darren. Thank you, Shannon Jeffries, for having that extra ball and for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.